I speak to you in the name of our living God, Creator, Christ, and Holy Spirit. Amen. A couple winters ago, I went to northern Arizona to spend time with friends who had moved from Chicago to Flagstaff. And while I was there, they took me out camping. Now, it had been a very long time since I had done anything like that. So they said, well, we'll take it easy. We're not going to go backpacking for days at a time. We're just going to go car camping. We're just going to drive the car out to where we want to stay for the night, keep our stuff in the car, pitch some tents out there, and enjoy the convenience of having all our stuff nearby. So we're driving out, and we're in the canyonlands outside of the Grand Canyon. There are tributaries of the river and other smaller canyons around the Grand Canyon, and they took me to one of their favorite spots out in those canyon lands. So we drive up to the spot, and I've never been anywhere like that. We pitch the tents, we're getting settled, and we have some time before there's anything else to do. So I take off wandering, and I just start walking down a hill and up a hill and down a hill and up a hill. And after some time, I turn around and I can no longer see the campsite. But I feel like I generally know where it is, so I'm still feeling pretty good. And what actually strikes me in that moment is that not only I can't see my friends, that's one thing, neither can I see any other living creature. There are no animals, no other people around. I barely see any plants. I mean, it's me and some rocks and a river really far down there. And it strikes me that it's been a very, very long time since I had been by myself, since I had alone time, certainly in that dramatic fashion. And I don't quite know what to do with myself. I take it all in, looking around at all these rocks, and I just sit down on the dust, listen to the wind, I pray, and then I start to feel hungry. So I get up and walk uphills and downhills and uphills and downhills. And then I start to see my friends off in the distance, and I return to them. And it seems like I probably walked a couple miles in each direction. So by the time I was starting to feel this twinge of hunger, it had probably been about 40 minutes. Now, that was 40 minutes. We just hear that Jesus was in the desert, that is the wilderness outside his town there in ancient Israel. He was in the desert for 40 days, a lot longer than 40 minutes. Not only is 40 days a long time, but we can understand it to be biblical shorthand for just a really long, indeterminate period of time. 40 is one of those numbers in the Bible that just means really, really big. A lot of it. A long time. So Jesus has been out in the desert eating nothing at all, we hear, for just a really, really, really long time. Certainly longer than 40 minutes. And at the end of that time, he's famished. Well, of course he is, because he hasn't eaten anything. And at the end of all that time, not only is he famished, but the story's not over, because the devil shows up. The devil becomes that one other being that Jesus can see out there all by himself. I was thinking about my time out all by myself, not being able to see any other living thing, and thinking that after a really, really, really long indeterminate time, it would feel real nice to see someone or something. So I wonder if Jesus, in his emptiness, in his hunger, in his weakness, felt at all glad just to see somebody. And not only that, but as the devil is talking, he first offers Jesus food, basically. Well, Jesus, if you're God, turn that rock into food. One does not live by bread alone, Jesus counters. The devil goes on to tempt him with authority and power. Jesus counters. The devil goes on to tempt him with what must seem like abundant life. Jesus. Empty, 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 hungry, weak, having no energy, still says, "Do not put the Lord your God to the test." What strength it must have taken him to resist. How hungry he was. We hear this story today, and we may have heard this story before. Whenever I hear it, I'm struck by how dramatic and sensational it is. And I hear that the Holy Spirit powerfully is with him, helping him to resist, helping to dig him to dig down deep into strength he probably didn't even know he had, to resist. The Holy Spirit is with him, and so I would like to imagine, or I tend to imagine at first, that, well, the Holy Spirit was powerfully with Jesus in the desert, defying the devil. But I'm not in the desert, or if I am, it's for about 40 minutes at a time. I'm really nowhere near the desert, so where is the Holy Spirit here? I mean, we struggle, I struggle with such basic things, right? My kids' behavior, worrying about my friend's health, my own anxieties, concerns about bosses or making ends meet, running errands, paying for groceries. If the Holy Spirit is in any of that, I wonder if it's just proportional to the Holy Spirit in the desert. So, like, the Holy Spirit's presence in my life is to the Holy Spirit with Jesus in the desert, as 40 minutes is to 40 days. Very small, manageable, digestible, predictable, even. And this is often how I think about Lent as well. Ah, here we are again. Lent. Time to give up something. Maybe chocolate. Note, you will never hear me suggest giving up chocolate. It is a gift from God. In fact, perhaps the most powerful symbol of the Holy Spirit among us. But since it's one of those things that is mentioned as a common practice in Lent, I'm going to pick on it just for a little bit. It's very common to give up something like chocolate, to restrict our eating of meat to only certain days of the week, to give up, say, social media, to plan to read more books, have more meaningful time with friends, practices of giving something up, taking something on. in my experience, thinking of myself, if I'm really brutally honest, often controllable, manageable, predictable, and not terribly imaginative ways. In my own experience, I can see, looking back on those times when I did give up chocolate, that it was something I could do. It was something I could control. And if I'm really, really honest, giving up chocolate, in my experience, for example, was less a way of making room for the Holy Spirit to take up more space in my life, less of an invitation for the Holy Spirit to fill up the expanse of the wilderness of my life, and much more, if I'm really, really honest, a way of keeping God's love at arm's length, a way of keeping the presence of the Spirit in my life as something that I dared to control, to manage, to put into this compartment. I think the invitation of Lent is a lot deeper than that. It's a lot more imaginative than that. It's frankly a lot scarier than that. Kind of like being out in the desert even for a short time and not knowing where to turn. On Ash Wednesday, we heard, "Remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return. Remember that you are created from love, and to love you shall return." If we really believe that love is real, that God's love for us is real, that we, each one of us, is created out of love, and that is where we are going always, how do our lives change? If love is the reality, how then do our lives change? That is the invitation of Lent. It is scary because we can't always see where we are. Dwelling in God's love means that we can't always look back and see where the campsite is, because we find ourselves in an expanse and a wilderness greater than we can imagine for ourselves. If we imagine that God's love for us is like a vast, rugged, incredible wilderness laid out before us, what do we take on our way? What do we make room for? What risk and adventure do we dare set foot on? That is our invitation. Let's go together. Amen.